the last of the series in Colossians. And I appreciate those of you who have stuck in there with me through this whole thing. Before we get started, I do have a story to tell. Before COVID happened, before spring break happened, someone gave me this shirt and said that when they saw it as me. And I said, okay, when you come to church for the first time, I will wear that shirt. And of course, then COVID happened and nobody has been here. And then I wore it on Easter, and I wore a pair of pants that nobody probably noticed. So I decided to do it today. First of all, I'm going to come out from behind here. First of all, my name is not Jake, and I am not from State Farm, okay? Just so you know that. And please, 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 and I know I'm asking for this, please don't call me at 3 o'clock and ask me if I'm Jake from State Farm and what I'm wearing. I will not be wearing khakis, let me put it that way. But anyway, I just had to get that. This is the first time that I think the person who gave me the shirt from her and her family have had a chance to see it, and I just wanted to mention that. And I am wearing khakis, but please don't call me. I'd appreciate it if you didn't. Well, the sermon title is A Little Help from My Friends, and as I worked on this, you can imagine what song played through my mind was the Beatles' I Get By With A Little Help from My Friends. I'm not going to cue that song up, but go ahead and let it play through your mind. But what we will find today is a rather interesting passage that many people will pass by. But I want to talk to you this morning about friendship. So let's read. Let's begin reading with verse 7, and I'll read to the end of the chapter. So please follow along with me if you would. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Let's pray as we ask God to open his word up to us this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the closing monologue of this book that the Apostle Paul has taken the time to name his friends, to name his fellow ministers, those who have been with him through thick and thin. And I pray that we will listen to you, that you will point out to us that we need friends and that our hearts will be open to you as our greatest friend, but more than that, that we'll be open to those around us whom you have brought into our lives, sometimes as iron sharpens iron, sometimes just simply as an encouragement to us. Thank you so much for those who have come close to us and are honest with us and are not yes people. But I pray that as we study your word today that you'll help me to understand. Help me to grasp what is here for me. Then I pray that you will help us to grasp what is here for us. And I pray, Lord, that your word, your spirit will work through your word to teach us how to be a friend as well as to want friends. And Lord, I ask that as I bring the message that you'll help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. When I graduated from school in 1974 from college and became a full-time pastor upon graduation, I served as an associate pastor at a church for a man I dearly came to love. His son Doug and I were friends in college, playing basketball together on the team, and then we took some classes together. Upon graduation, we found ourselves in the same city, and that started a friendship that to this day has lasted for over 46 years. Our ministries together have seen their ups and downs. We have moved far away from each other, as far as Ohio to Arizona, but also as close to each other as Minerva to Massillon, which is within an hour of that. We have weathered his father's and his son's death together. He has been retired for 7 years now, and he's only 6 months older than me, but he has been retired for 7 years now, still preaches in a little church of about 20 to 25 in Kentucky, and we still find time about every 3 or 4 months to get together halfway to have pizza and laugh. His father was a senior pastor when I first started full-time, and he said something that I have never, ever been able to live by. And now, I want you to remember that I am from a different generation. I grew up in a generation of pastors that we wore ties, and youth pastors wore ties. I hope you hear that, Ryan. Youth pastors wore ties all week long, except for our day off. Anytime we were at the church, anytime we were doing ministry, we had to wear a tie. So when Jim told me this, you have to remember, this was part of that generation. He said, "Bill, never get close to anyone in ministry." Now, he wasn't talking about his son, my friendship with his son, but with the people in the church in which I serve. And I have never been able to succeed at that. I have a friend, Jim, who is a cycling friend that I met back in Terre Haute, and we still get together. But as I began to mature and understand myself a tad bit better, I began to see that I was a very social creature, and sometimes that is to my wife's chagrin, but I am a very social creature. Now, it has been said that no man is an island, and the gist of that statement is basically saying no man could go through life on his own. No matter how much we think we can, we all need someone else, no matter what we say. Now, I accept that. And I accept that fact, and I find it very hard to be standoffish and not to relate to people. This quarantine has been hard on me socially, because I look forward to Sundays. I look forward to being with you and laughing with you and hugging you. But I also know that come next Sunday, even that will change. But I am a very social creature. And so being a friend and having friends is important to me. Interestingly enough, Paul was no exception. He finishes this letter to the Colossians, naming his friends, naming those who have helped him carry through and stay with the ministry. I think it's not only a very finishing touch, a very touching finish to his letter to the Colossians, but I think what he does is he presents to us the importance of friends, but he also tells us, and please hear this, the kind of friends we should choose. So let's begin by looking at, first of all, the value of close friends. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, the poet, once said, "Friendship is a sheltering tree." And I think he's right. When you consider a tree, and look at the benefits that it offers you. It offers you shade. It offers you shelter. It offers you a provision. Sometimes the tree gives fruit. And it offers you protection. It offers you refreshment. It offers you rest. And it offers you retreat. Paul knew he needed friends. And so therefore he did not travel alone. I want to go through some of the friends that Paul mentions to us as those who were close friends. The first one that is mentioned is a strange name. It doesn't roll off the tongue very well. His name is Tychicus. And we don't know a whole lot about him, but we do know how Paul felt about him. Look at the scripture. He will tell you all about my activities. Look at this. He's a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant. I like those three descriptions, and I especially like the word fellow servant because Paul is basically saying, I'm on the same level as him. I am not better than him. He doesn't serve me because I'm more important. I'm not lower than him. We are fellow servants. And I think that's the impression that we need to take. He was near the end of his third missionary journey in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, when we first find out he is mentioned. And he was in Paul's party, I guess you could say. But it required for him to follow Paul to have a servant's heart. And that's why I like what he says here, that he is my fellow servant. So to be a friend, be a servant. The second person that's mentioned is Onesimus. Now you find more about his story in the book of Philemon. Paul writes to Philemon, who was a slave owner, and Onesimus was a runaway slave. We can't get around that. And what Paul does is he tells Philemon, I want you to take Onesimus back. He's like a son to me. Because what happened as Onesimus ran away from Philemon's household, he came in contact with Paul. He heard Paul's message of God's love and accepted Christ. And he changed his life around. Now Paul is saying it's only right that Onesimus goes back to Philemon, but if you don't want him, I sure do. And so Onesimus became a very steady friend to Paul. The third, and from here on, he lists several different ones. Let's go through them real quickly. He mentions Aristarchus as a fellow prisoner. Aristarchus is mentioned in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 19, he is recognized as a companion of Paul and tossed in prison with Paul. Then he mentions Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And to know Mark's history is to see how Paul has changed and how important people are to him. At the end of his first missionary journey, is Mark, somewhere along the line, had left. He had abandoned the journey. But it came time for them to go again, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Paul says, no, I'm not going to do that. He left us one time. I'm not going to go through that again. And the Bible says the relationship between them was so sharp that Barnabas went one way, Paul took some others and went elsewhere. But what I find interesting is that now Mark is included in Paul's batch of friends. So somewhere along the line, Mark changed, as did Paul. And it took Paul's heart to say, you know, you left one time, but you've come back a changed person. Join me. And then he talks about Justice, Jesus, who is called Justice. What we gather from this passage here, the only place is mentioned, he was a Jew, but he stayed faithful to the message of the new covenant. Then he mentions Epaphras, and we're going to talk about him a little bit later in the message. Then he mentions Luke, the beloved physician, in verse 14. But then the square peg in the round hole is the next person. He mentions Demas. Now, I don't know if you know your scripture, how well you know your scripture, but if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, you find there where Paul is writing, and he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So at this point, Demas was serving. But somewhere along the line, Demas's perspective, his ideas, his mind got changed, and he fell in love with the world. And so Paul, even though here he is saying, I'm glad Demas is with me, in 2 Timothy he had to say he loved this present world. Now, let me close this thought with this. Not every friend can be a close friend. Not every friend can be a close friend. But I think what we need to do is we need to take note of those who can and keep them close. The second type of friend is the value of a praying friend. This is verses 12 and 13, so we're going to take a step backwards for a moment. It is one thing, here's the thought that I have, it is one thing to have friends. It's another thing to have friends who commit to pray for you. I'm going to say that again. It's one thing to have friends. It's another thing to have friends who commit to praying for you. You need friends who will storm the gates of hell for you, if necessary, to stand praying for you. I remember reading, and I cannot recall where I read it, but the story of Billy Graham, I think he was the one who told the story that at the very beginning of his ministry, he had two old ladies who committed daily to pray for him. And he puts up the success of his ministry to the start of those two ladies who prayed for him. They daily prayed for him, stormed the gates of hell in his memory or in his stead. Now, Paul mentions a close friend here. He mentions Epaphras in verse 12. And as we've gone through the book of Colossians, one of the things I mentioned at the very beginning is Epaphras is probably the pastor of the church at Colossae. So Paul's knowledge of this church is going to come from Epaphras. And Epaphras has gone and he's journeyed to Rome to see Paul to let him know about the devastating heresy and the dangerous heresy that is making its way throughout the whole Lycus Valley. What I find interesting is, though, although they were separated, the church and Epaphras, Paul says he struggled on their behalf in his prayers, that they would stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. And I bear witness that he has worked hard for you. I find that interesting because even though Epaphras is not with his church in Colossae and he's with Paul in Rome, he's struggling. And the word struggle is the word agonize. I have a picture in my mind that there were times that Epaphras was on his knees crying and begging and pleading with God, agonizing before God for the people back in the church of Colossae. And what I find here is there was no, Lord, bless them, like we often do. Lord, bless the church. Lord, bless the missionaries. I don't find that. Instead, I think what we find is there was an intense warfare going on, and Epaphras was willing to go to war and willing to go to battle for the church and the people that he loved. It's one thing to have friends. It's another thing to have praying friends. Friends who will storm the gates of heaven and hell on your behalf. If you have one or two of those, you are blessed. And you ought to be thanking them because they're committed to praying for you. But then there's a third type of friend that I believe that Paul gives us, and that's the value of loyal friends. Now, it's easy. I mean, you could say that all of these should be loyal friends. And yes, that is true. But I find that Paul specifically names several who are loyal friends. Now, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that Paul's letters are what I would call circuit letters or circular letters. And you can see that in verse 16. And when this letter has been read among you, pass it on to the church at Laodicea and see that the letter from the Laodicea, that you read it. So that tells us that Paul wrote a letter to Laodicea. We just don't have a record of it. But what it tells me is that Paul is saying, pass this around. So the letter at Galatia went to the letter at Ephesus, went to the church at Ephesus, went to the church at Philippi, went to the church at Colossae, and it made its way around. So they were circular letters or circuit letters. But as Paul does this, he mentions three groups of people. Number one, he mentions the church. And you can see that there, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea. It's interesting to me when you do a little bit of scripture looking, Laodicea is mentioned, never mentioned as a church that Paul established or even a city that he went to, but it is mentioned in Revelation chapter 3. And if you know the seven letters to the seven churches, it is the very last one. And what happens is that the letter from Jesus to the pastor of the church in Laodicea tells them that they are lukewarm. And that is scary. And perhaps, we don't know this, but perhaps the ugly heresy that was making its way through all the churches finally made its way to Laodicea. And instead of fighting the battle, they just kind of got lukewarm. It's interesting to me also how Jesus is described in Revelation chapter 3. He says, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. And then he says, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold, but that you're lukewarm. So the first one he talks about, at that time they were loyal friends. Pass that along. But then he mentions two people. One of them is Nympha. And back in biblical days, they did not have church buildings that we call churches. They either met in homes or in secret. I think it's pretty safe to say that Nympha was not the pastor of this church, but they used her home as a meeting place. She was what we would call the hostess. She was probably a very wealthy woman who opened her home up to the rest of the church and said, come here and worship. But Paul commends her and commends the church that meets at her house. And then one last person is mentioned. If you go to verse 17, he mentions the name Archippus. And you're going to say, who in the world is he? If you go to the book of Philemon, where Paul is writing to Philemon about Onesimus, he mentions Archippus as a fellow soldier. That tells me that Archippus was hardworking, that he was committed, and he was faithful. And then look what Paul tells him. He says, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. So Archippus had a ministry, and Paul says, stay at it. Don't get discouraged. Stay with it. Not sure what that ministry is. It's just that he was told to stay with the ministry, whatever God had given him to do. And I would say that for all of us, not everybody's cut out to be a pastor. Not everybody's cut out to be a CEO. Not everybody is cut out to be a youth pastor. Not everybody's cut out to be a secretary. But we're all given a ministry to perform. And it doesn't matter what that ministry is. Paul says, be faithful in it. Keep at it. And if you are a homemaker, if you are a worker, you are a secretary, you are whatever you are, he says, stay at it. Be faithful. Well, how do you do that? You find the right friends. You find friends who will be close. You find friends who will pray for you. And you find friends who will be loyal. You see, I believe that there are no little people in God's economy. Nobody is bigger. Nobody is smaller than anybody else. Several years ago, I read a story, which I want to close with, from a book by Max Lucado, In the Angels Were Silent. He tells a story about a 19th century school teacher who led a Boston shoe clerk to Christ. The teacher's name you probably never heard of before. His name was Kimball. The shoe clerk you probably have heard. His name was Dwight Moody. Moody became an evangelist and had a major influence on a young preacher named Frederick B. Meyer. Meyer began to preach on college campuses, and while doing so, he converted J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became involved in the YMCA and arranged for a former baseball player named Billy Sunday to come to Charlotte, North Carolina, to hold a revival. A group of Charlotte community leaders were so enthusiastic afterward that they invited a man named Mordecai Ham to come and preach at that revival. Now, you've probably never heard of Frederick B. Meyer. Some of you may have heard of Billy Sunday. Very few of us have ever heard of Mordecai Ham, but we will remember the one who came and accepted Christ and yielded his life to Christ at Mordecai Ham's revival service. You might know him as Billy Graham. You see, did that Boston school teacher have any idea what his future reach was going to be when he took the message of Christ to D.L. Moody? Not a clue. And you and I have no idea what our ministry, what our friendship is going to mean to people today, and what's going to change years down the road because we took the message to one person and gave them Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning to be a friend. to be a close friend, if you are asked to be a close friend, and that you will look for close friends, people you can trust, that you'll be a praying friend, that there will be people you will storm the gates for. And I'll be honest with you, do it for me. And I'm sure Ryan would say, do it for me. Storm the gates for us. And then finally, be a friend who is loyal above all things. So be a friend to other people. I think it's a very fitting conclusion to Paul's letter to Colossae that among all the garbage that was going on, among all the false teaching that was going on, he finishes his story by simply saying, I have friends who have stood by me through thick and thin. I'm going to pray, and then our worship team is going to come up, and they're going to actually close with a song. It's a new song. Enjoy it. I like it. First time I heard it, and I think you will too. But remember, next week, we'll be here 9 and 10:45. We're going to stream the services at 10:45, so don't come at 9 o'clock thinking it's going to be on. At 10:45, that's the service will be streamed to you, and we have things in place for safety. So we invite you to come and worship with us. Well, let's pray, and then our worship team will close us with a song. Lord, thank you for the friends that you bring into our life. Jesus once said that no man, a friend will give up his life. There's nothing greater than a friend who gives up his life for a friend. And so I pray that you'll help us to be a friend to others. Help us to be careful of those we choose to be our friends, those who will take us down the wrong path, those who will lead us away from you. Help us to realize those are the kind of friends we don't need. But instead, Lord, lead us to friends who will be loyal, who will be close, and who will pray for us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these folks who have listened. And I pray that your hand will be upon them this week, that they will sense the touch of Jesus on their life, that they will choose friends and be a friend. And if they have someone who has hung with them through thick and thin, they'll take a moment and say, thank you for being there for me. Thank you for being a friend. And help us to realize that even though it's just a song, we get by with a little help from our friends. And so, Father, thank you. And above everything else, thank you for being the greatest friend of all. And now help us to worship you with this last song and then to leave here prepared and ready to serve you this week. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for being with us. Our worship team is going to lead us in one last song. Oh, God, I need you.
Like